knows that fear always paints a picture of defeat. Fear always paints a picture of defeat. Whether you're attacked with sickness, you're attacked financially, you're attacked in relationships or whatever, if you allow fear to talk to you, it will create an image, it'll speak to you, and it'll cause you to leave faith. And on the other hand, faith will cause you to see victory before you, it'll paint you a picture of victory. Faith will paint you a picture of victory. And faith will cause you to overcome. Mac, he said, yeah, your face looks pretty good. Looks pretty good. I told him, I said, I've been on it with the word. I'm not kidding when I say that. Bless God, I'm believing God that by the time the healing process of in the natural and the word of God works, that you won't be able to see a scar. Well, what if it don't? What if it does? See, fear says it won't, but faith says all things are possible because I believe. Hallelujah. And you know what? I was thinking about it. I just walked around the building, and Donald, he said, what'd you do? Take a lap? I said, a victory march. See, I went around this building because I felt principalities and power. I felt them. I felt things in the atmosphere here. And so I went around the building, march, but I went about around the building, walked around the building, and I'm going to Baru. This is our ministry, our church, our Jesus, our anointing, our faith, our joy, our victory. Ain't that right? Well, we got to take authority. So I took authority, I bound principalities and powers, and just like you need to do when they're coming and feeding you a bunch of fear, feeding you a bunch of unbelief, trying to get you to lay hold of things you don't need to be eating and meditating on, and you need to put him in his place, hallelujah. You need to tell him faith is the victory that overcomes, and I have God's faith. And you know what? It changed the whole atmosphere of this service. Hallelujah. And if every one of us will do it at home, and then on our way to church, put on some praise, get to lay the world down, lay all that trouble down and trials you're having every day and setbacks and things that's not going your way and all of that, praise God, and lay it all aside and come on to the house of the Lord, and then you will experience God in a higher measure, personally. But bearing root, I set out and I heard this saying, I don't know, 18, 20 years ago. You know, and it was called Excellence of Ministry, was the series that I was listening to, because I'm in ministry. And I was listening to it to build myself up so I would have excellence in ministry, you know, excel in things, want it to be good, want it to be anointed. I want to know what things I can do, what can I, you know, I was listening to that, and that's the first time I ever heard the word first place authority. Been over 20 years ago, I guess. But this teaching that I was listening to was a big ministry that was training ministers. And I had the series of the word being taught in these meetings, and I was here at church working, and I had preaching blasting. I was getting things done, but that's the first time I heard it. And I set out this year, and I felt like the Lord was speaking to this church about letting this be a year that we in depth more put God's word first place and final authority. And then it wasn't too long after I brought that to the church, I heard another ministry saying that's what God was speaking, is to put his word first place in final authority. And then God was just really, today, you know, I was thinking about some of these, and I was overworking. I did some things where I could go with traction in tomorrow. I was going to have to go another way, but I took up some slack because I wanted to go with them tomorrow, you know, work at Corbin in different places. But I was doing some things, and then I got back, and I was going to work on my barn, my lean-to part. And so I thought, well, the hand of the diligent bears rule. How many knows the word will talk to you? And if you listen right then and pick up on that word and go, it will bring out in your life what it says. You will bear rule. The diligent will bear rule. Bearing rule means don't mean that we don't have any trouble. Bearing rule don't mean that we're not attacked at times. Bearing rule don't mean, you know, that things are going to go in our favor all the time. But see, what we don't really realize and know that is God has a plan for each one of us, and God is going to make sure the path that each one of us is on brings the fruit that's going to bring us to the place that He wants us to be, bearing rule. Some of it is kind of challenging at times, you know. But then you got times, Matt, he's in there, and the anointing just comes on the scene. And, I mean, just cause you're in a hospital or you're in the doctor's office or you're at work or you're filling up with fuel don't mean the anointing can't be relevant there. If you are giving God first place in your life, it will happen. He wants to bring revival in the hospital. He wants to bring revival on my job. He wants to bring revival in our cities. He wants to bring revival in our churches. And so I go over and it started sprinkling rain a little bit, and I thought, well, I'm going to quit at lunch, go and rest. I'm not going to do y'all disservice. I'm in ministry. I've always done it. I cut Wednesdays short as far as personally, and I go in and rest and take a nap, get up, meditate. That's just something I do, you know, and just go over the Word, meditate on the Word, different things. And so I thought, well, I'm going to work till lunch. You know, I got back about 10, and I'm having to drag that 20-foot sheets of commercial tin that I've got, 21, about here to the back pew around the building. You know? And then I've got to put it up there, you know, and it's 21, nearly 21 foot long. It's heavy. And so I bend down, and I barely get it up on my head like that, you know, and I thought, oh, man, I got to have some help. And I thought, don't quit. Just don't quit. And then I thought, bless God, if I quit, that 10 won't get up there. And you know what? I thought, I'm strong in the Lord. So I put that 10 up there, put it up there. I got four pieces on before nailed down. I'm 17 to go. That's not far. 16. Well, why am I saying? I'm going to have that done in Jesus' name. I don't throw down my business to do it. Business is number one. Your job is number one. You know, wherever God's got you, faith begins where the will of God is known. I've got to make sure I stay in the will of God. I could throw the business down. See, what I'm saying is keep priorities where they're supposed to be so that you stay in that place of that good fight. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. Monty brought up Romans up there about church and different things, and that was good. That was good. I'm convinced that the church of the living Christ, listen, by the way, your TV programs, your favorite preachers, the church buys that airtime. You understand that? These people sitting out there and they're not going to church and all that. I'm not downing them. They're not going to bear rule. There's coming a time when the church is going to be gone and they're going to be left. And they're going to wish they could find us on Facebook. They're going to wish, but they're not going to have that. Because the word is going forth out of the church, out of the assemblies, over the airways and the internet and the Facebook and all of that. And God is trying to draw men to the place of diligence after Him, after His things, after His will. I told my brother one time he pastored for 8 years and then he didn't. and then something happened. I don't know whatever happened, and he just not going to church. I said, you know better than that, man. Well, I'm just not going to be a pew warmer. I said, you better off than be a pew warmer than sit at home. I said, you've unplugged yourself from the very thing that you used to, when you was pastoring, believed. Just like Max said, there's a difference in knowing and believing. Because when a person enters into believing, they have actions. Faith has actions. Romans 10:9, it says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Well, with the heart man believes that he's going to prosper through the word. Well, with the heart man believes, according to Isaiah, that his health will spring forth speedily. Well, with the heart man believes that the word of God, that what Paul preached, that God, your word is working mightily in me. How many knows that it is the will of God that we rule in this earth? You know, I mean, I think concerning marriage, I don't know too many as dogmatic about it as I am, to the point to where I get on people's nerves that's been divorced and thinking about divorce if they get around me. And I don't mean to. I really don't, Mac. But I would rather see a family together. I would rather see them prosper. I would rather see them healthy. Watching that ID thing, something's on. This boy brought up and father left, and he was in his teenage years. And when the father left, well, the mother's having to work two jobs to make everything work out. And she couldn't spend time like she needed to with the teenager, you know, discipline and everything. I mean, everything. And so he kind of got rebellious, blah, blah, blah. And then before you know it, she told him, you're out. I can't deal with you no more. Out. So he left, and this old man kind of took him up, and the old man had a lot of guns and all that stuff. So he started taking a little time, give the boy a bedroom, showed him how to clean guns, took him out, began to spend time with him just a little bit. But see, already a bunch of damage had been done to the young man. And he didn't have God. See, if we filter God in. Now, we're not filtering God in this scenario. And so he's in there, and all of a sudden, oh, man, they're going to get some guns, you know, and go shoot or whatever. And the up the gun and shoots the old man. He fell to the ground, tried to get up, shot him in the head. Walked right in there to his wife in a wheelchair, shot her in the head. She falls over on the table, goes in there and takes two or three guns, you know, and this is true story. Took two or three guns and went out, you know, and they finally caught him, but two people done dead. And what if, I was sitting there thinking, and I was thinking, what if they had had God in there? What if they had been in church? What if they had took their son to church and brought him up in them? And it's never too late, even if they are teenagers or whatever, it's never too late to bring God in. Because there's scripture there that he says that he will restore what the canker worm and the caterpillar eat. He'll restore things. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I get a little flack on finances. I get a little flack on marriages. I get a little flack on everything. Especially if I stick with the Bible. Especially if I won't waver from the Bible. In my preaching, in my thinking, in my talking, and that's okay. Because that kind of person, you or whoever it is, carries an anointing that them that don't stick with it don't have. You might not feel it, but I'm telling you, when you need the power of that word in a time of trouble, he'll hide you in his pavilion. The Bible says in Psalms 27, he'll hide you in his pavilion. I looked that up. It says a screened-in place. I believed God for a lot of years to be debt-free, and I sowed seeds. Oh, here he goes again. Well, just take it. Shut up whining. Listen to some, it's a testimony. Matt's telling a testimony. Some people go, God, here goes Mac again. Ha! Ha! Now, if it's flesh, it's Mac. We'll just cut the service short, you know. But if it's okay, I mean, you got things in your heart, man. I mean, and you want to share because you come out of a life without God and pushed God out and wouldn't have nothing to do with God and didn't have a relationship with nobody. If it was all just a lust relationship. And then here he is over here, born again now. Now he's got a new family. That's a testimony of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got time to hear it. Whether my flesh is tired or whether I want to preach, I don't have to preach. I can hear what, I'm not just talking about Mac, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's a testimony. I mean, me and Mac, you know, we had some things go on. Satan tried to come in. Satan tried to destroy, and bless God, he couldn't do it. He could not do it. Because we wouldn't yield to hatred and anger, and we was open to the Holy Spirit. Well, you know what happened? We bore rule. That's what you see. Bearing rule means sooner or later you come out on top. Well, I believed for many years, and I was telling the Lord the other day, I don't remember what it was, thank you, Lord, that you helped me to keep believing, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you helped me to keep giving. Thank you, Lord, that you helped me not to throw in the towel when I felt like it, God. Thank you, Lord, that you always showed up and sparked a little fire, Lord, when I didn't have none concerning things, Lord. And I didn't give up and didn't quit. And we didn't quit, Lord. And now we're bearing rule. Hallelujah. God's word works. We released our first fruit offering for every one of you. I'm believing 2023 is going to be a year, and I believe it will, for those that put God's word first place and be aggressive on it and have aggressive faith concerning it. Let God, you'll come out in 2023 and you'll be blossomed like a rose bush. You're going to bear fruit. Did you know? I call it aggressive faith, but it really not aggressive faith. The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. Now, when we're going after the Lord, we will have God's desires, whether it's get out of debt or be healed or, you know, enjoyment time with the family. Or I mean, God gives us these kind of desires. I mean, he really does. It's not just spiritual matters. He said that he would that we be whole spirit, soul, and body. All three of them. Spirit, soul. You know what your soul is? A lot of people think your soul is going to heaven. Well, it's not. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. When we're born again, that's who's going to heaven. That we're in this body. We're just in this body, you know. And I've thought many a times, man, I don't know, man. You had to open heart surgery. You better slow down a little because you might just sit there and drop over dead. And I thought, well, glory to God, I'm ready to be up. But then I come back and I say, nope, you lying devil. I've got purpose on this earth. So you got to know the will of God. And you got to be bearing rule according to the will of God. You got to know the will of God where faith can begin and faith can continue to work. We're not promised 80 years old. We're promised 120. So if you're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, don't sit down in the rocking chair. It's just the way it is. I've got old. I'm all washed up, and there's nothing I can do about it. That is a lie. Your body and the devil and your natural circumstances, feelings, and your soulish realm, your mind, your will, and your emotions are getting you to be dominated by what you feel and what the natural realm is. Because people get 75 and 80 and they're washed up don't mean a believer has to go there. Hallelujah. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I was putting metal up on this porch back here. And I don't remember who I had up sliding it up there, you know, back. I slid it one, it caught something, and I done turned it loose, and it come back, went whoosh, slide. And I'm bleeding, I think Travis might have been, I'm bleeding, all that stuff, you know. And I got it all stopped and everything. And I'm looking in the mirror, and one evening, and I thought, what kind of preacher are you? Man, look at your lip all gashed up. I didn't have this then. You know. And I looked in the mirror and I thought, are you stupid? Not me, but the devil. Giving me them thoughts. How you gonna look up here, your lip sliced up, preaching? It's only gonna last a few weeks, Mac. He's trying to get me to quit over a sliced lip. You think you'll try that garbage? Whatever he thinks can trigger you to get you out of faith, it might not be your sliced lip. It might be you got one ear higher than the other. You might be a little overweight. You might be a little too skinny. Your teeth might be crooked. They might be a little brown. That's why I didn't want them white eye beams they put in me to start with. Everybody's like, huh? I mean, they forgot about Scotty. They would look at them when I had them temporary teeth, you know, they was pearl white. And they're up there, the dentist is trying to get me to go pearl white. Just pearl white. I got in the truck and I went, I had them temporaries in. So when I went back up there, and Doc, he said, I think you need them white ones. I said, I don't want them white ones. I said, no, tone it down. Even brought his wife in there. And she said, well, he said, what do you think? Hold the other ones up there. I said, I want that. I had him give me a color chart. I got the color of my pearls. But you know what? The enemy was trying to use that on me, man. My teeth ain't got nothing to do with who I am and what I know on the inside. Your hair, your teeth, your one of my ears are lower than others. Did you notice it? Yeah. I put glasses on, they go. I'm like, what happened to that, man? My ear didn't grow right or something. But my ear ain't me. I know it's all funny. Y'all can laugh. But it ain't me. Hallelujah. This Bible started teaching me at 27 years old, not just the Bible, but my going after the Lord and desperate for Him and desperate for Him to heal my marriage and help my finances and help me not to quit jobs anymore. I mean, I was a total failure. But be me going after Him and then getting in this Word and listening to those preachers that the people in my arena before I got to Coleman taught me that them TV preachers, all they wanted was money. So it was really hard for me to listen to them because I had believed a report that was not true based on what they thought. And so I'm at church, you know, and Bradley's preaching a sermon, and he mentioned somebody on TV, and I thought, he believes in them money grubbers too, bet you. You know, I thought this preacher here, I didn't know him then, you know. Been there a few times, you know. I thought he probably believes in them money grubbers. Watch them, they'll take up an offering every service here. And they didn't. They took up offerings on Sunday. And I asked one of them, I said, you ought to take up offerings on Wednesday night? Because I'd been taught that every church is all they're thinking about is money. Well, how many knows that's a lie? I never think about money. I had $300-something when I started, and I told God, you're telling me to start this ministry here, Lord, and this is all I've got that you've had your people to give me offerings, and I've saved and blessed God. Hallelujah. This is your problem, and this is going to be your bill, and I'm not going to pay for this church. And I told him that. And bless God, he's took care of it all these years, 20-something years. And I've never got up here. Why? Because I'm going to bear, that was the will of God for me. God wanted me to do that. He knew, he's seen us now. He's seen us tonight, back yonder. He sees where you're going. He sees what you're going to do for Him. Hey, some of y'all going to turn your known world upside down because you're going to burn with revelation from the Lord on salvation and healing and deliverance, glory to God, and how true that He is and how He loves us to the point to where you're like Mac, you can't keep it in. I mean, I know Mac, he's a talker. That's good. We need some talkers. Joyce Myers was too. She could never shut up. So God just put the anointing on her, black God, and now she's changed her known world. Had a lot of trouble in her life with her dad or family and all that, and she overcame it through the Word of God and through yielding to the Lord, to the point to where she took the ones that abused her and took care of them in their last years. What was she doing, barren room? I heard women preachers ain't supposed to preach. They use scripture out of the Bible. And I'm going to this church up here, and this one woman, Sister Brown was her name. And this woman knew God. I didn't know she knew God. But black God, I mean, she'd speak things out, sitting over there, standing over there, just in the presence of the Lord. And I'd be standing over there, and her words would come out of her mouth, and it's like they would pierce my being. She's the one that said, Jesus is my lover. Now I'm thinking worldly. I'm thinking, this woman's a nutcase, man. I love her. Oh, Jesus, your lover. Because lover, we didn't think, I mean, we thought worldly. You know. But I mean, he was her everything. Sister LaVelle, yes. And Sister Brown was another one, Sister LaVelle. And so I'm going down the road. See, God brought me into that atmosphere so that he could break off some of the chains that I had been put on me by the church people. Come on, somebody. You hear that saying out there in the church world, God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They took a doctrine out of it. They took one scripture out of the book of Job and made a whole doctrine out of that. Church did. Why? Because they're losing battles, Johnny. So they can't come up with no other explanation. And Satan throws the scripture up there. I'm walking in. This guy called me today, and he said, hey, can you come down here? Stroke of Diesel is across from Walmart. He said, this dude's wanting you to give him a price on two God's doors. He knows I'm a Christian. I said, oh, yeah. I said, it's going to be Thursday, but I changed some things up, like I said, so I went today. And I'm up there, and this guy that called me, he got a little pit bull. And this guy made a real ugly joke about his little baby pit bull, and I won't tell you because it's just good. but when he's telling, when he's saying, the guy looks up at me, I mean, like chalk on his face, like, I can't believe he's saying all this right. Brother Scotty, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, no guy he there, he all tatted up, smoke pipe, you know, boiling over everything. And so anyhow, he walked off, and I told him, I said, well, I said, I'll get you a price on him. He said, no. He said, I just want you to get them coming. I said, no, I don't do that. I said, I'm going to get a price, and then I'm going to let you know how much they are, and then you tell me what you want to do. He said, what you think I'm going to say? I want them. I said, I don't know. Not likely. So anyways, he walks off and he went over. And I hate that, man. And all that cuss stuff like that, you know. And I looked. I looked at him. I said, I'm not religious, man. I said, he didn't get in me. Not one second. Just because I hear it don't mean it's going to get in here. I get in a boat, but God, I keep that water out as much as possible. Why? It ain't going to sink you. Well, if you don't let stuff in, unbelief, fear, all of that, and the worldly music, that's why I don't listen to worldly music. I just ain't got time for that. I got to keep my mind stayed on the Lord. I got to keep my focus of being diligent so I can bear a rule. I don't even know what I want to bear a rule over now. I'm debt free with that, man, and all that stuff. So I'm like, well, I got to get the body debt free. Now I got to go put out what I've done. Just when you leave me, Lord, just put out what I've done and let those look. I like throw the ball, and everybody that hears will catch it. I don't know how to get it in none of you, but that Holy Spirit does. Buddy, he'll quicken you. He'll quicken you to things that people ain't even saying. I've been sitting in services before. That's why it's good to go to church. I've been sitting in services before trying to figure out what's going on in my life and them not know nothing about me and the anointing be moving and the Holy Spirit speak to me sitting in the pew and nobody said nothing about it. And just knew it, just like it. Glory to God, hallelujah. I'm glad I went to church because I didn't feel like it. That very service, pray God, I didn't feel like going to church. I felt defeated. I didn't have no answers. That's when I was learning to walk by faith and not by sight. I don't have a problem with that now. I mastered that. Now, I have to keep it in check. You'll have to keep it in check. But you can master these things by being diligent. The Bible says the hand of the diligent will bear rue. Proverbs 12, 14, to believe it in 24. The hand of the diligent will bear rue. It didn't say the ones that's got their Jesus bumper stickers. Right? Or they confess Psalms 91 every morning. It's easy for me to confess. Glory to God, Lord, I thank you, Lord. The blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10:22, maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And then 3 weeks go by and your phone don't ring. And you ain't getting no kind of quotes or nothing. And you start wondering, what's going on? What's going on? It's easy to quote it. But do you believe it? We're 11 days, 11 days into 2023? I guess. I just said out of my mouth yesterday. See, the Bible says that we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth, Romans 10:9. That's talking about salvation, but the healing the same way, everything. I brought it out of my mouth and I said, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that 2023 is going to make Scotty rich. I thank you, Lord, the blessing of the Lord makes me rich and adds no sorrow. I thank you, Lord, that I'm blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in the people are calling me from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They're calling me. My phone starts ringing. I'm like, why did I confess that? I need a day off. Woo! It's working. You need to stand at your job and say, glory to God, Lord, I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to be the best I can be at what I do, God. And you know what? And say, God, and I thank you, Lord, that the ones that needs to notice me will notice it without me doing anything. Promotion comes from the Lord, the Bible says. Promotion don't come from your boss. It comes from the Lord. I'm believing Psalms 91 more than I ever have been, that I will still bear fruit in my old age. I'll still drag that tent around there in the name of the Jesus. So even if I'm 80, I'm not going to sit around listening to the TV. The TV, they just said it today. They said, people that work, they need to retire around 55 or so, and I'm thinking, I'm 55, man. I'd go downhill if I just sat in the house. That'd drive me up the wall if I just sat in the house at 55 years old, man. Then they went on and said, well, they did do a study over in China over there, and the ones that retired at 55, their mind wasn't as sharp as 60, and the ones that retired at 60 were still, they were sharper than the 60-year-olds that retired. And I thought, I've always heard that saying that an idle mind is a devil's workshop. I don't let my mind get idle too much. There's times you need to rest your mind, though. Rest it, cut it off. Cut it off from everything. Just rest your mind, just rest. Cut it off from the world especially, troubles and all that. I mean, there's enough sickness around me, you know, to me to think, good God, the news says, oh, this other variants of COVID, it's a bad boy. And then, they're pushing this vaccine garbage again, praise God, that's been proven out don't work. Then they said, well, now we're not saying that it won't. Now they done know the facts. Now they've changed their tune. Now they're saying, well, now we're not saying that you won't. you won't get it. But it will help you the results of when you get it. And I said, I'm not going to get it. You got it? That TV ain't going to tell me nothing. Bless God by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 over there, taking therewith the shield of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Well, wait, that ain't for the devil, is it? Go read your Bible. All good things come from the Lord. Is COVID good? Does it rob people? Does it kill people? Does it destroy? Does it destroy their lives? Well, then how? We don't have to wonder where it come from. The Bible says in John 10:10, that makes it real clear to me and you, and the Holy Spirit quickened us to it, that the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Anytime I'm stealing, killing, destroying, I look at it and I realize the enemy's involved somehow. I don't know about you, but I'm going to prosper. I'm going to prosper spiritually. I'm going to grow spiritually. I'm not after money. I mean, I'm not, but I'm not going to leave this planet and get up there and God say, I had all these riches for you. I had all these people for you. I had all these houses I was going to let you pay off for people. I had all this, and you stopped believing when you got satisfied. See, some of you believing just to make it from week to week, but you're going to have to go to where you believe in where you don't have to make it from week to week, where you go 2 weeks. Try the little things. Thank you, Lord. I remember when the Lord dealing with me and Teresa, and I can look back at it now, and I know why. I didn't know why then. God, don't borrow money to buy gas. I would fill my truck up on Monday and pay for it Friday. Cokes, whatever, through the week, you know. It ended up, wasn't much, 30, 40, 50 bucks a week, you know. And I remember the Lord dealt with me and Teresa not to do that. I was tore up from the floor up. I'm like, God, you understand we're broke, don't you? I mean, how am I going to do this? How am I going to, because I had to pay that bill that Friday. And then I couldn't get Monday. I needed that much again because that's how much I spend next week. So I was getting it on Monday and paying it on Friday. So now I got to come up with double that because I got next week to go. Huh? Yeah, we had credit in the store. We did it. I said, bless God, we're going to believe God. I thought to myself, I'm going to believe God. And about in that time, they sung up there, they'd sang at church. We might not know how, we might not know when, but he'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. You may not know how. Singing that song, Johnny, I'm like, glory to God, I don't know how he's going to get me through this week, but they say it up there, you may not know how, you may not know when, but he will do it again. And praise God, we made it. We made it that whole week, and I felt like I had toted the gates of the city like Samson. I felt like I'd climb a mountain, Mac. I thought, man, God did it, man. I mean, here we are. I don't have to, and I'd go by that store, and I'd be like, I don't need to borrow. I didn't need to borrow, but I still borrowing it. I mean, those some things just want to hang on to you. But you know what? They can't if you're going to be diligent. You're going, once you set up your mind to bear rule, then God's going to take you to bridges that you got to cross. And it ain't going to be easy at times, so don't get your mind on all that. Go to work and all of God's details out for him. Just let him carry you over the bridge. And then when you get over it, burn it. I never borrowed another dime at that little store. It's still open. Same people ain't got it, but I never borrowed another dime. Actually, they called me up later on and they said, Hey, Scotty. I said, yeah. They said, look. They said they left the pumps on over here. He said, what they said, they got to get rid of all this gas. New owners are taking it over. Come fill up your vehicles. I said, are the owner okay with it? And they said, yes, bring everything. Man, I filled tractors and cars and jugs and all kind of stuff up, man, for like 50 cents a gallon. I thought I got all of my profit back from this store. Woo! Now, I think I was headed, they didn't call me, I was headed home, they're telling me about it. That's what it was. But you know what? That was the blessing of the Lord that I was quoting back under when I didn't have, barely had a wind to throw a pot out of. I was believing God, and I thought, whoa, glory to God. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. I mean, I got a bunch of gas, man. I had a little 8-inch tractor and lawnmowers. I filled them all up, man. Fill them up. See, it says the diligent shall bear rue, but slothful shall be put under forced tribute. Labor. That means labor, forced labor. In other words, if you don't try to bear rule and do your best to bear rule and make God's word first place, final authority, you'll go down the road and you'll be like, I wish I had it. I wish I had it. Now I'm in this and I know it's because I didn't, man. I've not used my faith before and later on because there's times you just don't want to fight. You know, your flesh just don't want to fight. You're like, why can't I don't want to fight. I just don't want to fight. That's time to gear up right then. That's a sure sign that you're going to need the energy. You're going to need built up. Hallelujah. How does the Bible say for us to resist Satan? Steadfast how? In the faith. So for faithless, guess what? There ain't no resisting. He just comes in. He begins to take ground. I mean, if he's tried once on my marriage, that sucker's tried to get me divorced for over 30 years. He tried it before we got saved. You used to, it did work a little bit. Yeah, she may be calling people, talking to them. And I go in and I feel weird. I'd be like, what's wrong? What's going on up in here? What's wrong with you? I felt good till you got here. And I'm like, yeah, well, you saying it's me? No, why you saying it's me? And then before you know it, see, she's cheating on me. I know. She's trying to defend herself already, blah, blah, blah. And here we would go. The same old pattern back under before we got saved. And then I went in, we got together one time. We said, hey, man, do you feel that? I feel it. Did you feel it? I didn't feel it before you got here. And I said, I didn't feel it before you got here. I said, it's not neither one of us. I said, then it's the devil. I said, so we made a commitment together. From here out, we are not neither one when we get home again. You know what? We don't hardly have that problem anymore. If we do, we just look at each other. Just keep eating. We don't sit there saying, do you feel that? What's wrong with you? Have you had a bad day? We don't do all. What happened? We got smart on what was going on, and we quit yielding to how we felt when we got home. Some of y'all going to experience that. If the devil wasn't real, you wouldn't, but he is and you will. But he ain't got no power unless you give it him. He don't have no victory in his being. He is defeated. He's stripped of all power. Stripped him of power, made a show of him openly so everybody could see that Satan had been stripped of all power. And now Jesus come on and down and he told us, he said, I give y'all power over all the power of the enemy. Now, people can divorce if they want to. I mean, you take two people. I mean, I don't really like to preach this because I would rather have it in your mind and in your heart where there is no alternative of staying together. None. There's no bailout window. There's no what if it don't work out between us. I would rather it be in me and in you and in the ones that's listening to us all over this planet that they have a choice. Satan makes them think there's no choice. I don't love her anymore. I felt like I don't love Teresa like I used to before. And then wasn't too long when I felt that a time or two, wasn't no prolonged thing. I heard somebody say, well, we got married young and I was robbed of my child, or you know, I didn't get to experience life. And I'm like, man, me and Teresa did too. I was 18 and she was 14. How many knows that's a lie? We're blessed. But you know what? Me and her knows what we fought at times and what bridges we crossed and all of that to please the Lord. It wasn't even really about us. We just wanted to be pleasing to the Lord. And we found out God hates divorce. So we decided we hate. I heard Bradley preach one time. He preached the scripture and he said, see, we got to love what God loves and we got to hate what God hates. And he hates divorce. He didn't say that. But I read it in there. I thought, oh, man, he hates divorce. No wonder Satan tries so hard to get people to divorce. Because now he's working contrary to the word. Hallelujah. So set out to bear fruit. Y'all teenagers in school, set out to be the best you can be and make straight A's in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. We can believe him for our car payments, but y'all ain't there yet. So you can believe him for nice pencils and paper clips and whatever you know in school. And believe him and sow some seed. Believe him. Believe him to come out there and be the best you can be. Believe him to come out making straight A's. Aubrey made a little bad grade or something. I don't know. And she covered her head up.
What if I don't go to third grade?
I said, what if you do?
Well, what if I don't?
Well, what if you do? I said, you are going to go to the third grade because Jesus is going to help you. Now she's only in second, concerned about not making third. Woo-hoo, big deal. I had a mustache in the fifth. Look, God, I made it. God still helped me, hallelujah. I mean, they made me get out of the fifth. I had a mustache starting to grow a little beard. Fifth grade. They didn't none of them mess with me. Of course, you know why, don't you? I mean, I'm about 4 years older than them. Who would? Them little punks down there. Y'all better not mess with me. I'm getting that seat, and I'm sitting right there at lunch. If y'all don't want your food, I'm getting it. Especially chocolate milk. But you know what? Y'all in school, then teenager, getting up here in college, believe God to find out what God wants you to take.
Well, I think I like cosmetic stuff.
You don't even know what you like. Find out what God wants you to take. He might want you to drive a track hoe out in the middle of Alaska on a boat digging up gold. Get before the Lord. Bear rule. Don't just think this stuff is for the grown-ups. You got a problem with fitting in? Work on it. Bear rule. You don't need to have to fit in with a bunch of cliques at school. You walk alone with Jesus if that's what you need to do, and you keep him first, and you put his word first. And you, if you don't feel loved in school, you walk around saying, God loves me just like he loved Jesus. He loves me. I love God. Jesus loves me. You walk around until you don't need anything but that on the inside, and you will walk around with confidence in God, and God will begin to reveal himself deeper to you, and he will make sure that you end up not shipwrecked when you do end up 50, 60 years. We got plenty of evidence out here of shipwrecked lives. Paul even said it in the Bible. He said, and some concerning faith made shipwreck. You can make shipwreck concerning faith. All you got to do is quit. Lay down the Bible. Well, I tried it. Told a guy one time, I said, man, why don't you get right with the Lord? I tried that church stuff and it didn't work. I said, I didn't say church. I said, that's why it didn't work. The church ain't what works for you till you get saved. Once you get Jesus, then the church will work. I said, but church ain't going to work. I said, you went to church a few times to try to make your life better. I said, that's not what makes life better. I said, his name is Jesus. Well, they told me to go to church. I said, it don't make no difference. I said, you can find him in church. I said, I found him in my living room with double-aught buckshot and a 12-gauge gun with all the pictures out fixing to leave this planet, praise God. I give in to him that day. I said, I wasn't in a church. I said, but you can find him in church at the altar. I said, or at the altar of your choice. I said, your altar is your heart before the Lord. So I want to encourage you, you know, Set out to make this year be a year where you put God's word first place, final authority. Find out what God's will is for you. Well, I don't know. God won't talk to me. That's not scriptural. Are you born again? If you're not born again, he can't talk to you. If you're not saved, then he can't talk to you like I'm talking about. He's going to direct you to Jesus every time you try to talk to him. Somehow he's going to get you to Jesus. Because the Bible says no man comes to the Father but by the Son. There's a lot of doctrines out there that teaches every road leads to God. Well, it don't. These roads leads to hell, the Bible said. And destruction. So if you're struggling with hearing God, find you the Bible. Where's it at, Brother Scotty? You'll find it. It's in your Bible, and I know where it's at. I'm going to quote it to you, but you're going to have to go find it. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and another they won't follow. So if you're not hearing the Lord and you're born again, you're believing a lie. You're believing it. You can shut God out with wrong believing. You got to get it. You got to know it with your head. Get it in your heart. There is where you believe that you hear the Lord, and it opens up. You open up to the Holy Spirit is what you do. You open up to him. And I mean, he said he'll come in and live with you and dine with you and go out. And I mean, he'd come in and dine and eat with you and drink with you. Find out the will of God, y'all young folk. Don't wait till you get up there 30, 35, 40 years old and say, well, I got to go to church and find out what the will of God is. No, you find out what the will of God is at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 18, 30, 40, 80. Find out what the will of God is. Then when you find the will of God, you stand on that and you say, God, I believe this is you, God. And I'm going to believe that you can make this come to pass. I'm going to believe that you said your gifts will make room for me. Find that Bible. Get those scriptures in there. Well, I went up there, and I'm going to close with this. I went up there, and I'd set out, and I said, I'm going to prosper in 2023. And I hope you have that same confession, believing, and heart believing, thinking, and meditating. Praise God, spirit, soul, body. Hope you do, too. I'm going to. Well, walking in there, and after I told him, I said, I'm not all religious, man. I'm fine. It ain't bothering me. It didn't get in me. None of it got in me. He said, well, come on, man. I'm going to show you where they party at. I built all of this for them. Like that, and I got up the door, and I went to open the door, and he said, he's going to let you do them doors, ain't he? And I said, this is the will of the Lord. I'll get it. Like that, and he said, well, you know what the Bible says, don't you? I said, yeah, what's that? The wealth of the wicked, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. I said, yeah, I'm going to get my money up in this hill. Well, that's what it says. So you know what? Called him back and gave him a price. And he said, you got it coming, ain't you? I said, I'll see you next week. So I'm getting some of that sinner money. I don't care. Do you? Let it come however. Let a dope dealer give it to me. I don't care. Bring it. Hiding it from law ain't going. I've heard it on there before, you know. Gamblers carried $30,000 to a preacher one time. God told him when he won gambling over there in Las Vegas. And when he got right when he won, the Lord told him, he said, carry that to that Jerry Savelle. My God. He went over there. He caught up with him, whatever. He gave him a bag. He said, what's that? He said, well, it's money. And don't ask me where I got it. And he left. He took it home, opened it up. Now they believe in God, you know. I mean, they believe in God. And he just had found out the scripture over there where the wealth of the sinners laid up for the righteous. He's righteous, and that was a sinner. He says, $30,000. Yeah. I mean, that's the way God does. I've never treated a dog another night. I've never heard him preach one hard message. But boy, I tell you, I put into practice some of the things that he teaches. And it works. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And we thank you, Lord, that